May the Lord help us to begin our services today with hymn 232. 232. Begone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Hymn 232.
From the Holy Word of God, we read together the book of Joshua, chapter 2. The book of Joshua, chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man, because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be, that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And may God bless that reading of his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. Most merciful, gracious, and almighty Lord God in heaven, we seek thy blessing and thy favour as we come to worship thee this day. Grant us, we pray, thy gracious help and presence as we gather around thy word. Lord, we pray thy special help as we meet in this way. Lord, thou knowest our need as we gather in our homes. We are separated one from another. But Lord, we do pray thy special help and blessing as we seek to worship thee. Thou knowest, Lord, the hindrances, the distractions, the difficulties that there are when we are not in thy house of prayer to worship. We pray particularly, Lord, that thou would help the children and grant them thy blessing, that their attention and their minds might be fixed on thy word. We pray for parents, Lord, help them with the difficulties there are in worshipping at home. We do pray that thou would overcome all these things, and we pray for thy presence. Lord, we pray that thy presence might be in each home and in each heart as we gather together around thy word. We pray for a united spirit of worship. We pray that our hearts, our minds might be united together in that desire to worship thee this day. Lord, though we are separated from the house of prayer, yet though we think of those words of that hymn, Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold the mercy seat. We do pray, Lord, that we may truly behold the mercy seat this day, that we may be drawn to the throne of grace, the place of mercy, that we might see a once crucified, now risen, exalted Saviour sitting on the throne. Grant us, Lord, that we may come boldly to that throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And thou knowest, Lord, the needs of each one who are listening in to the service this day. We pray that each need might be met. Lord, I have need of thy help in the preaching of thy word. And we each have need of thy help in the hearing of thy word. May we be not just hearers, but doers of the word also. Lord, we do pray that we may be blessed with living faith, that faith may be mixed with our hearing, and that thou wilt be pleased to bless thy word to our souls, that it might be food, it might be a comfort, it might be, if needed, a rebuke. Lord, thou knowest what we stand in need of, and we pray, Lord, that thou graciously supply. We think of those who are unwell at present. We do pray, Lord, that thou would send healing mercies. Lord, we do pray that thou would grant that restoration and recovery to those that are unwell. We do think of Andrew and Naomi and the children. We do pray, Lord, that thou would undertake for them and help them, and Lord, restore them, we pray. We pray for those who are isolating, those who are through necessity shutting their homes during the week. We do pray that thou would help them with this difficult time we are living through. We pray for those, Lord, in business who are concerned with the prospect of the restrictions continuing. And we do pray, Lord, for parents and those, Lord, who are working and mixing, particularly those, Lord, in the healthcare professions. We pray, undertake for them, Lord. Thou knowest their concerns, the dangers that they are placed in through their work. And we pray, Lord, that thou would be with them and grant them thy special help. May we, in all our going out and coming in, be under the shadow of the Almighty. O Lord, we do pray that thou coverest with thy gracious hand of love and protection. Be that wall of fire round about us. Be the glory in the midst. And help us, we pray. Lord, do grant thy blessing upon the children. Some, Lord, are taught from home. Others are taught at school. And we do pray that thou keep them each and bless them and be with them and comfort their hearts at this time, we pray. It is a time of uncertainty, a time of concern, a time, Lord, of changes, and we do pray that we may see thy gracious hand in all these things, that truly they may work together for good. Lord, we do pray that we may be graciously comforted in these times of anxiety and distress. Lord, we pray for thy Spirit. Do send forth the Holy Comforter into our hearts, who takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto us. We pray that Christ may be made precious to us. We do pray, Lord, that we may cast all our care upon him and prove that he cares for us. Bless us, Lord, with living faith in the person and work of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus. May we see in him a meeting of our every need. And grant, Lord, that we might be lifted above the sorrows and the distresses of this dying, changing world, the chaos, the confusion. Lord, we too pray that we may look above these things. In an uncertain, changing world, may we look for those things which are certain, those things which change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Lord, do help the friends at Swavesey. Lord, we pray thy special blessing upon them, Lord, as they are separated week by week at present. We pray, Lord, that there might be that unity. They may endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, that thy love and mercy might be poured out upon them. Do help the brethren in their offices, deacons, Lord, do grant them thy gracious help in these challenging times. May they prove their help cometh from God, who made heaven and earth. May our eyes be up unto thee. Lord, at times when we know not what to do, may we, like King Jehoshaphat, have our eyes unto thee, but our eyes are unto thee. Lord, do grant us then that we may look to thee and find thee, dear Lord Jesus, to be a very present help in trouble. Be that refuge for us. And may, Lord, this Sabbath day be a time of blessing, a time of true rest for us, that we may rest in the promises in thy word. We may be brought to rest our souls into the arms of Jesus, that we may be brought to rest from our own labours in striving to make ourselves right and ready, that we might know what it is to rest in the arms of the dear Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, we do pray then, bless us, we pray, this day. We ask, Lord, that thou come and make the place of thy feet glorious. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be a God nigh at hand and not afar off. We pray for those who are seeking, longing after thee, those with an inquiring spirit. Lord, we do pray that that even this day it might please thee to lift the veil from off their eyes. May the scales fall away. May they have clear views of thee. Lord, we pray for a being made nigh by the blood of Jesus, that we may be brought to be inner court worshippers. Bring us, Lord, in our feelings, in our hearts, to be amongst the sheep in Christ's fold. Lord, may we not be afar off. Oh, we do pray to be made nigh. Bring us in. Lord, draw us to thyself. We would see Jesus. Lord, we confess at times how our sins rise up and obscure like the cloud the sun of righteousness. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt shine and shower, Lord, those beams of light upon us, that we may walk in light and liberty and the love of God. And grant us, Lord, that we might know the zeal of the Lord of hosts, that we may have that right zeal, that desire to worship thee, to serve thee, that thou be first in our lives, that thou, Lord, will have the preeminence in all things. Lord, leave us not to half-heartedness, to lukewarmness. Oh, we do pray, stir us up. We do pray that we may be, Lord, true followers. Grant us, Lord, thy gracious help, that we may walk worthy. Lord, thou knowest our sins, our failings. Thou knowest our need. We pray for any in particular temptation, any with particular burdens or cares. Lord, thou knowest all things. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw them to thyself. We pray that in even this time of the coronavirus, it might prove to be a time of blessing for us. Lord, as these things seem against us at times, oh, may it prove all things work together for good. Lord, we do pray that thou turn the curse into a blessing for many. And may it be a time, Lord, a time where we are brought to prayer, a time, maybe a first time, that some are found seeking, praying, bringing their case to thee in prayer. None are too young to pray, Lord, and none are too old. And we do pray that there may be some good to come from this time of distress. Remember us, Lord, as churches, we pray, how we need thy gracious help in the day in which we live. Lord, we do pray that thou stir us up. May the church be labouring, travailing in prayer. May there be that wrestling prayer. Oh, for that return. Lord, that thou wilt return to us. Oh, that thou wilt visit us with thy salvation. Lord, we pray that thou wilt turn and smile upon us and shine upon the churches and pour out thy spirit, Lord, a spirit of grace and of supplications. May there be a looking on him whom we have pierced and a mourning for him. May there be a humbling of us, a spirit of true confession. May there be, Lord, that regeneration of many hearts, souls born again of the Spirit of God. Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Lord, do lift up the light of thy countenance upon us and give us peace, we pray. Remember our nation. Bless our leaders with wisdom and grace. Lord, do turn this government to be one that serves thee. Lord, we do pray that thou help our Prime Minister and the Cabinet and those in high office in our country. Lord, we pray, work in their hearts. We humbly pray. Lord, we do ask that thou grant them wisdom and turn this confusion into true wisdom, that wisdom which is only to be found from thee, and lead us out of this time of tribulation. May we be bettered for it. May there be many who are taught from it. May there be a gracious effect of it. Lord, leave us not to pass through it and out of it unmoved, unchanged. We pray for that sanctifying, the application of it. Oh, that it might be for the good of many souls. Be with those who are suffering. We think of those who are losing life, losing loved ones. Lord, we pray for those that mourn. Lord, there are many deaths each day. May we not be hardened as we hear the numbers day by day. May we lay these things to heart. And Lord, may that question be asked. how stands the case, my soul with thee? Oh, if we are to be numbered amongst those that are losing their life to this virus, oh, are we ready? Are we ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Grant us, Lord, the answers to these questions. Oh, by thy grace and mercy, may we be persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Grant us, Lord, the knowledge of our sins forgiven, the knowledge of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he lived and died and rose again, ascended into heaven for us. O Lord, may we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Leave us not, Lord, to sins of unbelief. Take it for granted, religion, thinking there's plenty of time. Stir us up. May ours be an urgent, pressing case. Give me Christ, or else I die. O Lord, do revive thy work. Do pour out thy blessing. Have mercy upon us now as we turn to thy word. Oh, we do pray, Lord, grant the power, the unction of thy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we do pray, overcome all things, and may we lose sight of each other and see no man save Jesus only. We ask for that washing in the fountain open for sin. We pray for that robe of righteousness. We may be clothed with the perfections of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name, amen.
Let us continue with hymn 704. Hymn 704. Lord, we lie before thy feet. Look on all our deep distress. Thy rich mercy may we meet. Clothe us with thy righteousness. Stretch forth thy almighty hand. Hold us up, and we shall stand. Hymn 704.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the book of Joshua, chapter 2? With the Lord's help, this morning I'll speak to you from the closing part of verse 21. The book of Joshua, chapter 2. With the Lord's help, this morning I'll speak to you from the closing part of verse 21. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Book of Joshua, chapter 2, and the closing part of verse 21. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. The whole verse reads, "And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window." This account of Rahab is a most wonderful account. It is a great encouragement to us this morning as we read it. A poor, wretched sinner, in the world, far off from God, is brought into a knowledge of the Lord, God of Israel. And more than that, is brought to desire to identify herself with the Lord's people. And if time had permitted, we could have read the following chapter and found her deliverance from the city in which she lived and her bringing in to the family of the people of God. This woman, Rahab, and her account is remarkable. Here she is in this city, Jericho. And yet, far off from the worship of God, away from the people of God, yet clearly we see the fruit, the seeds of living faith in her heart. For when these spies are sent by Joshua to spy out the land, come into contact with her. They're found entering into her house. And this is what some people would say is a chance meeting, but there's nothing by chance. This is predetermined. This is according to the counsels of Almighty God. This is the time appointed where she must be brought out and brought in. And in speaking to these men, we can hear some of the language of her heart. She speaks of what they've heard, the effect of the Lord God of Israel amongst the children of Israel in the overthrow of Og, king of Bashan, and Sihon, and king of the Amorites. And we find more than that. We find that the Lord is working in her heart also. There is a confession. "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Yes, there are things with Rahab. We think of the lie she told to those that came looking for the spies. We mustn't pass these things by. We think of her, harlot, Rahab the harlot. But beloved friends, surely none of us have stones to throw this morning. Really, we should praise the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy. We should offer the spirit of thanksgiving for this account of Rahab the harlot. the one who was brought out of this city, the one who found favour with God, the one who is named in the line of our Lord Jesus Christ. This Rahab, in later days, went on to marry Prince Salmon of the children of Israel. This woman, Rahab, was the mother of Boaz. And how similar her deliverance, in a way, a stranger and a foreigner, a Gentile, an outcast, and how similar to her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and her coming out of the land of Moab. There's much we could say on this dear woman, but we must continue. Her desire was that she might have, might know the safety of the people of God. She might be found among them. What a good desire. You know, beloved friends, if your religion is real and mine is, we will have the same desire. Now, as I said, Rahab, we see her at her beginnings. Her faith is weak, but there's faith. You cannot deny there's living faith in her heart. And weakness of faith, maybe. And we all have weakness of faith. Weakness of faith causing her to tell that lie. But we all suffer from a weakness of faith, the fear of men. How prevalent in our day is the fear of man? And how often we should speak and we don't, or we shouldn't speak and we do. How often we say things that unguarded things that best we shouldn't say in moments when we are in difficulty, pressed by the world around us. Let us not throw stones at Rahab and her lie. You know, she did it from a good intention. We're not going to excuse her lie. The Lord doesn't need people to sin to accomplish his will. He's able to deliver without man resorting to sin. But the Lord is also and has often been pleased to turn evil into good and to bring an outcome from evil things, not in way of excuse this morning, but that we might not be overly harsh in our condemnation and our judgment of Rahab's lie. It is a lie. And you children, there's no excuse for lying. But let us just remember that she told it from a heart that was desirous to protect the Lord's people hiding on her roof. But her desire was that she might have a true token. Give me a true token. Give me a true token. And this is what this scarlet cord was. This scarlet line, the line that she let the men down from, out of her window, down the outside of the city wall so they could escape, that same cord, she was told to tie it in her window that it might be a token, a true token, a sign that those that returned to destroy the city would spare her and her household. She was told three things concerning her true token. She was told to tie it in the window. She was told concerning that promise that those of her family should be in the house with her. And safety would be theirs. And the third thing she was told concerning this promise of deliverance was that she should tell no one, that she should not make mention of it. Yes, the token, the scarlet line tied in the window, an outward sign. But the secret purpose of it to be kept secret. She was to tell no one of the city. In the providence of God, in the mysterious sovereignty of God at times, he is determined to save one of a city, one of a household. And may we humble ourselves under this mighty, almighty God. And her desire, give me a true token. Well, they instructed her that she should tie this line in the window, and she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And so this token that she was given, this scarlet line, this sign, this outward sign, was to be tied in her window. And really, we see she tied that line in her window in faith. She trusted the word of these men. They spoke to her and she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away and she bound the scarlet line in the window. You know, beloved friends, there's a few things on my mind concerning this scarlet line. Really, firstly, the faith given. She tied that line in a window in faith. It wasn't so much really the scarlet line that would save her. It was the mercy of the men who would come to destroy the city and their mercy upon her that would save her. But the scarlet line was a sign. It was a sign, a token. It was given to her and to them. It was something outward, something that was seen. It was something for her to look to. It would be a number of days before the city was to be overthrown. When they left, they didn't tell her how long it would be before they returned. They didn't know. But it would be soon. But immediately, as soon as they left, she tied that line in her window. She fixed that evidence, that token given. And she fixed it in faith. She believed their promise. And she fixed the token there in faith. Well, maybe there's a few this morning and you desire a token from the Lord. Something to reassure you. Something to encourage you. Something this morning, an outward sign of an inward secret promise. Something that you might look to. Some evidence this morning that all is well. Though there's chaos and confusion around you at present, desire something from the Lord. Something like Rahab. She could look to it day by day in waiting for the return of these men and the army of Israel. You know, waiting, she could look to that. It was an outward token of a promise. It was an outward token of the Lord's favour. Is that what you desire this morning? The psalmist in Psalm 87 closes the psalm, "Show me a token for good." Show me a token for good. What is that token? The scarlet line tied in the window of Rahab, it meant everything to her. It was everything to her. Oh, it was, she tied it securely that it might not fall away. It was her hope was in that scarlet line, and what it meant, what it was a sign of, what it would mean. The returning Israelite army were instructed to look for that scarlet line in that window and keep alive those that were in that house. And it meant everything to her. It was her hope. Her hope. Her hope was in the mercy of the Israelite army. But her hope was fixed on that scarlet line. Without it, her house would perish like the rest. But with it, tied in the window, there was deliverance. There was some future. There was some hope. There was life. Without the line in the window, there was death and destruction, certain of it. But with it in the window, there was hope of life. There was future. There was a prospect. Show me a token for good. Is that what you desire this morning? You see, no one looking at that token, that scarlet line, would have thought anything of it. Her neighbours, those in the city, wouldn't have given it a second look. It meant nothing to them. It was nothing to them. It had no meaning at all to them, no secret meaning, no meaning whatsoever. It had no value to them. It was just something in her window. But in her, for her, and for her household, it was everything. Show me a token for good. Give me a true token, Lord. Give me some evidence, something, Lord, that I might fix my hope of. Or that I might have something, some persuasions, some evidences of thy love, thy favour, and thy mercy. You have the word of God. You have a copy of the word of God in your possession, but you want it fixed in your heart. You want that secret promise. You want the outward sign of a secret work. You want something to look to, confirming something that's hidden deep within your heart. Show me a token for good. Give me a true token, a true token, one that will prove true at last. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. It meant everything to her. It meant nothing to the world around her. But to her and her family, it meant everything. You know, we have a similar theme, really, don't we, when we consider the blood-sprinkled doorposts and lintels of the houses of the children of Israel on the Passover night. Their hope was in that blood, that outward sign. They sheltered beneath that blood. Really, Rahab and her household, they sheltered, didn't they, under that cord, that scarlet line. It was their outward sign of the gracious protection as the destroyers came forth. And that night of the Passover, the children of Israel, they sheltered beneath the blood. The night of the Passover night, the destroying angel went forth throughout the land of Egypt, destroying the firstborn in every house which had not the blood. But the promise was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Give me a true token, Lord. Oh, to see that precious blood. The Lord has given us a sign, a place, a shelter, a refuge. In 2020, poor sinners desiring a true token are being led by the Spirit of the Lord to the blood of Jesus. And there they find a refuge, a hiding place, a shelter. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Her desire was to be passed by, to be delivered. She had a token given to her that one day she would be delivered from that wicked, godless city, Jericho. The scarlet line she bound in her window was a token that one day she would be delivered from it. She had to wait. She had to wait for it. But the children of Israel returned. And the children of Israel destroyed Jericho. The Lord God of Israel destroyed Jericho. And she and her household were delivered. Oh, it proved to be a true token for her. It proved to be a hope not in vain. It proved to be sure and steadfast. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Oh, that we might have that same faith. Oh, that we might have that same desire to identify with the people of God. Oh, we think of her and her care of those strangers, those foreigners who came into the city, those spies. Oh, do you know something of that desire to be with the people of God? Desire to help them? We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. What a token that is this morning in your heart and mine. Have we that evidence? The Lord has given these tokens from his word. Can we trace them out in our lives? Have we those things this morning? Is our desire to be identified with the despised people of God, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? She bound the scarlet line in the window. She did it immediately. There was no delaying. As soon as they left, she wound the cord back up and tied it into her window. And there it must remain. And it must remain fast. It couldn't fall off. It couldn't be removed. It must remain until the day of their return. That we might have that same steadfast desire to act immediately, to be made willing. The word of God says, my people shall be willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Or to be made willing. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Now to know that true change of heart and desire. To desire to leave the world and the things of the world. Her life was to change and change forever. She was to be found among the people of God who were at that time of no fixed abode. They were travelling toward to take up that inheritance in the promised land. There was much still yet to be done, much land to be possessed, many battles, many difficulties to be overcome, but she was made willing to cast in her lot with them. Despite how sinful she felt to be. Often that can be a hindrance to us, can't it? Our our past, our sins, our many failings. Oh, what a hindrance it can be. Oh, we see the people of God. We have a desire to be among them, but what about my sin? Would he receive me? Would the Lord Jesus really receive such a poor sinner as I? Oh, there's a desire in our hearts to be made right, to be made ready for eternity, but oh, what a stumbling ground we find, our sin. Like mountains rising, oh, we look at others, of the people of God, and oh, we feel so far off, so different at times. We find ourselves at times to be outside. Oh, we've sinned and we've come short. Surely none has sinned and come short as we have. Like dear Ruth, we find ourselves to be strangers. When Boaz received Ruth to himself, she falls to her face and bows herself to the ground and says unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Oh, the mercy of God. Oh, that though we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, oh, yet how precious, how cleansing, how able that precious blood of Jesus is, how powerful to remove sin, how able that blood is to cleanse the vilest of sinners, to wash away the deepest of sin stains, how purifying that fountain that was opened for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, any sinner plunged in by the blessed hands of the Lord Jesus is made clean. How effectual that precious blood, take away the deepest stains of sin. Oh, it can cleanse a Mary and Manasseh's sins, the sins of Rahab. Oh, and it makes them no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, she was to be a princess, literally, in Israel. Oh, what a wonderful, wondrous transformation. Oh, what a transaction there is in that greatest of all transactions. What a transformation when a soul is brought to cast himself upon the dear Son of God. And the life of the Lord Jesus and the death and resurrection is theirs. Oh, that perfect hiding place, a scarlet line. She bound the scarlet line in the window. Oh, may the Lord so bless us. May we have that desire. There is a day, beloved friends, a day of reckoning, a day of judgment, a day when the Lord will come again. May we be prepared. It was the Lord's good pleasure and according to his will that dear Rahab would be delivered. May it please him to deliver us in that great day. You won't be able to trace out a good reason. Oh, you will see no reason why he would in your own life. Well, why should he take notice of me? Oh, you won't find a good reason. We have to leave it in the word of our Lord, because he would. Oh, that we might be blessed with that childlike faith, to lay our souls at his feet, to plead for the forgiveness of our sins, to seek for those true tokens, those evidences that we are indeed born of God. We might not be ashamed of that hope, but bind it in our windows, in sight, that we might see it, that there might be nothing hid, that we might be made willing. The Lord would change our hearts, as he changed the heart of Rahab, to make us real Christians, that we might have that desire to be found among the children of God, those whom we once despised, we may be brought to love. The Saviour, sinners whom we once despised, be brought to truly love and worship. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window, a sign, an evidence, a token of a prospect of deliverance. She was brought out in her desire by the work of grace in her heart. She was brought out. She no longer wanted to be a citizen of Jericho, no longer wanted to be among the people of Jericho. She was brought out. And in that day when the walls of Jericho fell, her and her family were brought out of that city. And as it was razed to the ground, and the inhabitants of were destroyed, she was then brought in. Oh, what a need we have to be brought out of this world, brought out in our affections, our love of the things of this life, our desires to be no longer in the dying things of this life, and to be brought in amongst the people of God, brought into that fold, that one fold of what the Lord Jesus spoke of in that chapter of John, chapter 10. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. There's Rahab's. That you and I might be a Rahab. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. They shall hear my voice. Oh, that we might be brought to hear his voice. Why was I made to hear his voice? And enter while there's room, while others make a wretched choice, and rather starve than come. Looking around the city of Jericho, who would have thought the Lord would have mercy upon Rahab the harlot? Your view of things and mine would choose many before her. We would bring many before her out of that city. The Lord's mercy was such. And so it is even in this day. Oh, the Rahabs of this life, poor, guilty, wretched and undone sinners, whose lives are ruined with sin, brought to seek for that forgiveness, made to know something of themselves, the dreadful place and state they're in through sin, made aware of a judgment day, and that the wages of sin is death, and caused to flee to that hope which is set before them. The two spies to Rahab were a sign of hope. Oh, and she applied for mercy, and she found mercy, and she sought a token. She was given a token. Oh, may we, in our need, in a day of confusion in which we live, a day when there's chaos around us, a day of uncertainty, a day where we, the very foundations are being shaken, oh, may we apply our hearts unto wisdom. May we seek for that forgiveness of our sins. May we not rest in just a head knowledge, a religion that's in our minds. But may we know that work of the Spirit of the Lord within. May we have that hunger, that thirst, that desire for true tokens. Oh, may we have something to bind in our window today. Oh, may we have something to look to, a promise, a hope. May he bless us with his word and grant us that it might be something that endures, and that it stays and remains with us until that day, that the cord wasn't taken out of the window. It remained there until that day of their return. Oh, may we have a religion like that, one where we're given true tokens, those things that remain through our lives and will see us into heaven at last. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday school this afternoon on Zoom at 2:30. And Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. And then there will be, hope, God willing, there will be a church prayer meeting next Monday evening at 8 o'clock. That's the 23rd of November. Let us close with hymn 1033. 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.